Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. Before I dive into today's episode, I wanted to share something I'm super proud of. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know that I'm an executive function coach with Beyond Booksmart, and one of my clients just finished their second year in college and ended up with all A's and a couple B's after really struggling during their first year. I met them at the beginning of their second year, and we worked on breaking down tasks, learning to manage that so-called free time, and creating a system that worked for them. Their transformation into a successful and, most importantly, happy and confident student is why I really love being an executive function coach with Beyond Booksmart and why I wanted to start this podcast. We coaches get to see firsthand how improving executive function skills does really make a difference, sometimes a life-changing difference. I'm really just very proud of this work, and I just wanted to share that with you. So if you ever feel like you could use some help in this area, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm always happy to help, give you resources, get you connected to the right people. And if you have any topics that you want me to cover on the podcast, or if you're looking for any kind of specific information, just let me know. Things don't have to be this hard, I promise. Okay, so this week is a tasty episode. It is all about food. I invited Becca King, a registered dietitian, to join me on Focus Forward to talk about food, ADHD, and how they can work together and against each other. We talk about many aspects of food and cooking, how to lower or get rid of barriers that may prevent us from cooking or eating nourishing food, meal planning and how to make it work for you, and how it may change as your life situations change. We also talked about the importance of crunch. It's actually really important. Finding satisfaction in the food we eat and how to remove the guilt or shame we might feel when we don't cook or eat how we feel like we, you know, should. Becca follows an all foods fit approach to nutrition, and that really helps people get to a place where they can nourish themselves with nutrient dense foods and eat the fun stuff too. I found Becca on Instagram, so be sure to follow her there at adhd.nutritionist to learn more. Okay, now on to the show. Hey, Becca, thanks so much for joining me on Focus Forward.
Thanks for having me, Hannah.
Mm-hmm. So will you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, my name's Becca. I am a registered dietitian and I'm also an ADHDer, and I work with other ADHDers who struggle with disordered eating and binge eating primarily.
Right. Yeah, I've been very interested in learning about nutrition and how it impacts ADHD, because my mother is hypoglycemic, and so I have kind of grown up learning about the impact of, well, sugar especially, but yeah, just the impact of food in general, that it really can impact your, you know, your mood and your, just yeah, your ability to kind of get through every day. And so I just thought it would be really interesting to bring an expert on to talk about nutrition, yeah, and how it can impact our ADHD, both positively and negatively, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think nutrition is one of those things, or like feeding ourselves really is one of those things that's like extremely important and a necessity for everybody. But especially for ADHDers, like not being fed regularly or getting the right things in sometimes can really impact our ability to function and regulate. Really, it impacts our executive functions. It impacts our ability to regulate our emotions and our energy levels and all of that. And so it's one of those things that is really challenging, but I think also can be really helpful too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, great. All right. So, one thing that I have heard a lot is that, you know, for people with ADHD or and actually, if you're listening to this and you don't have ADHD, I encourage you to keep listening, because a lot of what we're going to talk about is really applicable to anybody, and especially in these days and times when life is so busy and we may be experiencing stress, our executive function skills are going to be negatively impacted.
Yes.
So keeping up with our nutrition is just one thing that we can do to kind of set ourselves up for for success in today's world.
Yeah.
So, but I do know that if you have ADHD or if you are really stressed, one of the barriers to that is just making food, like the idea of making food, eating well all the time or as much as possible, just feels like such a burden. So how do you help your clients, kind of remove those barriers or just make it a little easier to improve our health?
Yeah, I try to simplify the process. So I try to go through like every little step from deciding what to eat to getting food in front of you and even cleaning up and doing the dishes, and kind of breaking that down of like, what is a barrier for you? What feels like it takes way too long? Or does it, you know, does a recipe say it takes 10 minutes to chop vegetables and it takes you 45 minutes? Like that might not be, you know, you might want to find other ways. Maybe you buy pre-cut vegetables or frozen vegetables so you don't have to do all of the chopping and prep work. I buy like the jarred minced garlic so I don't have to like get my fingers, even though I love garlic, I don't want to smell like it all day. You know, I don't want to smell like it. So getting that garlic just saves, because I usually will use several cloves in a recipe because I love it so much. And I will, it just, that little step, it just makes like the ability to initiate the task a little bit easier, or even using like shortcuts is like what I like to call them, but more conveniency things like 90-second rice packets instead of getting out a pot and boiling water, or even getting a rice cooker. It's like, okay, these are all these things now that I have to clean up afterwards. And usually there can be this cycle, right? Where it's like, okay, I didn't do all the dishes. Now there's this, you know, my dishwasher's full and my sink's full of dishes. And now I need to cook, and now I don't have anything to cook with. So I'm going to do the dishes just to cook, and then I'm gonna have to do them again. And then our brain's like, I'm not doing that. I can just push a button and get food delivered, even if it's five times more than like what you would have made yourself. So definitely simplifying the process and like giving yourself permission to use shortcuts. Like we have made shortcut types of foods for a reason, to simplify the cooking process. And like, if you have the ability to cook every single meal from scratch, that is amazing and awesome for you. But most people don't have the time or the energy or capacity to do that every single day for multiple meals. So I think taking some of that pressure off of ourselves, that like it doesn't need to be that way. And it just requires a lot of privilege, yeah, to be able to do that, like to be able to have the time. It takes so much time to cook, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so much patience and so many executive function skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just what you were saying about how like cooking is not just cooking. It is the cleaning up and the preparing and the chopping and all that. And it reminded me of just recently I recorded a conversation with three other of our coaches. And one of the coaches was saying that they really hate doing dishes, but that they have discovered that if they put on a show while they're doing dishes, then it just makes the process of doing dishes so much better. And so I do the same thing. Like one of the barriers for me is chopping. I don't really like chopping. But if I just like put on a podcast or I put on music, and lately I've been bringing my son into it. And so he's been wanting to learn how to cook, and he loves chopping.
Yes. Yeah. Like kids love.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can even find like kid friendly, knives and things that won't like cut them, but soft enough, like can still cut through vegetables and things like that. But I think that's so awesome to get your son involved at an early age. Cause like that is one thing I'm really grateful for. My parents did was like, get me in the kitchen when I was younger to do not making meals all on my own or anything, but you know, just getting practice and being comfortable in the kitchen. So by the time I got to college, like I could make things on for myself. Really, and it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. It was like, let me go find some recipe and make it. And like, it wasn't as stressful as an adult figuring out cooking, because I had been being in a kitchen was like a normal place for me growing up. So that's so awesome. And it's nice to get to spend time with your son that way.
It is. It's really fun. Yeah. Aww. Yeah. And I guess that really shows the importance of
A barrier could be, like what you said, is just comfort in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so lowering that barrier for yourself, whatever that is. Are you not comfortable with making rice? Then it's okay to get the convenience
Yeah.
rice. Or maybe if you have some free time, take the time to practice or
Yeah.
take the time to watch some YouTube videos. I mean, that's what I see a lot in my coaching, is just figuring out what are the barriers to doing whatever you want to do, to bear
Yeah.
the barrier to whatever your goal is. What are those? What can we do to lower
Yeah.
them?
Yeah. And if you
Yeah.
don't, yeah, if you don't enjoy the task on its own, find ways to make it fun,
Yeah.
whether that's, yeah,
Yes.
like music or a
Yeah.
podcast or,
Or a show.
yeah, I dance when I do my dishes or like cook
Nice.
a little, or like
Yeah.
sometimes if I'm in the mood, I'll kind of like romanticize making dinner for myself, and just making it feel a little special when I'm like, oh, I haven't cooked for myself in a while, and I'll put on like Frank Sinatra and like
Nice,
stuff,
nice.
and it'll just feel like a special little evening to myself. And
Yeah.
like okay, that was nice. I haven't cooked for a while and that felt nice to like
Yeah.
actually do.
Yeah.
Make
I love
something
that.
enjoyable.
Very cool. And then what about something that you said before? So, all right. So we have to say we go to cook, and then we have to do the dishes because we don't have the stuff that we need. But if we're
Yeah.
cooking, we're probably hungry. So
Yes.
how can we manage that?
I am a big fan of pre-meal snacks. So
Ah.
if you're actually like hungry when you start cooking, like you're like, I probably need to eat in the next 10 or 15 minutes, or I'm going to be not a very nice person. Maybe consider having a small snack, and it doesn't need to be anything extravagant or like a whole meal or anything, but just kind of something to take the edge off so you can get through cooking. But I kind of think of it as like executive fuel of like, okay, I have all of these steps, like I'm going about to use a bunch of executive functioning different skills to make this meal. I'm going to give myself a little bit of fuel to make this easier versus I can't wait until this food's done. And then you probably burn your mouth because you're so hungry and you're like, I don't care. I'm just going to shove this in my mouth. And you're like, now that hurt. And now I can't even taste the food I cooked
Yeah,
because my tongue
right.
is burned.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't be afraid of like, oh, I ruined, because I think we get told that a lot as a kid, like, oh, you can't have a snack before dinner because you'll ruin your dinner. But like if you're hungry, you know, it can be something small. Sometimes it's just chopping up some veggies and eating those. If you're already doing that, like leave some extra there and just nibble
Yeah.
on them while you're cooking.
Yeah.
I love carrots, so usually like carrots and hummus for me are a really easy thing I can, you know, nibble on and then go start cooking and then not be ravenous by the time I'm actually done.
Yeah, the concept of eating before you cook, or eating
Yeah.
before you eat, is,
Yeah.
yeah, I feel like I'm like going against
Yeah.
this like core belief that I have that you're not supposed to eat right
Yeah.
before a meal. But if it means that you get through the process of cooking it, or it means that it prevents you from spending money on ordering,
Yeah.
like
Or you're just
delivery or something.
angry
Yeah.
at everyone, or like if you live with other people, you're probably not in a great mood cooking. And if your kids are coming like, hey mom, and you're like, I
What's for
just need to
dinner?
finish,
Yeah.
like I just need to get this done, and you're like, no, like I don't want to react like that, I'm just hungry right now. Like
Yes.
it's very much like sometimes like that Snicker bars commercial, like that little old lady, it's like, yeah, that I do sometimes not act like myself when I am hungry, so like let
Yeah.
me just eat so everyone around me also will like make it a little bit easier to cook this meal, and everyone won't be like sitting down at the table angry because, you know, someone bothered me while I was trying to cook because I waited too long to start
Yeah,
cooking.
right.
Yeah, it's just like it's an appetizer. We do it at a restaurant while we're
Yeah,
waiting
that's
for food, and
right.
it's
That's
fine.
right.
But like
Yeah, but
if we
not at
do it
home.
while we're cooking,
Yeah.
we can't do
Yeah, right.
that.
So what about I also know for myself personally, and I've heard this for a lot of people, some of the barriers that come up are just it's just not knowing what to make or not having what you need to make. So I know meal planning has really been a game changer for me. So how do you support your clients in learning about meal planning and kind of executing that whole thing?
I try to think about like what do you need out of a meal plan? Like what are you hoping or planning meals? Not necessarily a meal plan, like what people probably think about more of like a diet kind of thing of like, what am I gonna make? Like I have a whiteboard and I write my meals out on for dinners and I just pick and choose from there, but I do it more of like what I call flexible meal planning. So like I pick 3 to 4 meals to make during the week, and then I will make extra, so I have leftovers for other days, for lunches and stuff, but I'll pick and choose versus like Monday I'm having, you know, we're doing meatless Monday, and then I get to Monday and I don't want to make that thing. So having some flexibility around it, I find is really helpful. But also, yeah, like, do I need to have every single meal planned, or do I just need dinners planned? I like to think about also like automating meals. So like, are there meals you can kind of eat on, or snacks you can eat kind of on repeat? Like, I pretty much always have an apple and a cheese stick, or just an apple for a snack at some point during my day is just a no-brainer. Oh, I'm hungry for a snack. I will go get that because I know I get a serving of fruit in that way, and maybe some protein if I have a cheese stick or something. But just kind of taking some of the thought process out of it is kind of thinking about it. Okay, in advance, these are some meals that I can make. Or maybe if you already have things, kind of like backups, I try to buy a little extra of things just to keep in my pantry and fridge that are really low effort things, like the little like Indian pouches. So I'll do that with rice, or getting some other little things that are just easy heat and assemble kind of things. So that way I have a fallback if the veggies I got aren't good and now I don't want to make the thing I planned, or I didn't cook the meat in time. So now that's bad. And now what am I going to have for dinner? I always kind of have a little bit of a fallback kind of thing, but I think a big piece too is just knowing that like it might change throughout life and your seasons of life. And that's really okay. Like how I meal planned, you know, when I went and like worked, commuted to a job is totally different than how I do it now because I work from home. And that's okay. Like it's going to ebb and flow. And that doesn't mean that you're like failing at it, or even it might ebb and flow week to week. Sometimes I have clients who'll feel really guilty about like, you know, some weeks I'm really on it and I get all the meal planning done. And then the weeks they're like, oh, I was out of town, so I didn't get back until Sunday night. And then I did get to the grocery store. And then they're just like, so now the whole week is ruined kind of thing. And it's like, it's not ruined. We can adapt and adjust accordingly. Maybe you go to the store a little bit later. That's okay. Or maybe it's just kind of like, we're just going to really keep things simple this week and not put too much pressure on ourselves. So I don't know if that totally answered your question.
Yeah. I mean, I think that your point about being flexible is so important, because food is such an important part of our lives that if we then attach judgment or guilt to it, I feel like it kind of, I don't know if ruins it is the right verb, but I feel like we are nourishing ourselves with food. So let's also nourish ourselves with compassion if we can't get to the food as we had planned. Just because you planned it doesn't mean that you have now failed if you don't do what you thought you were going to do. And especially with food.
Yeah. Like there's no grading system, you know, like it's not like you're getting a report card back and one's like, you did not follow your meal plan this
you week? Had Taco Wednesday and not Taco Tuesday.
Yeah,
like, yeah, you're now a horrible person.
Yeah, I used to feel so bad when I would get like meal kits, like delivery kits. I'd be like, okay, so I'm gonna have that one on this night and this one on this night and this one on this night, and then I wouldn't want it in that order. And I would feel so bad about myself, like I did something wrong, morally wrong, for wanting a different meal on a different day. And I was like, no, I'm allowed to change things up and adapt to what sounds good in the moment. That's totally okay. But like, I don't need to feel guilty for changing my plan or adapting accordingly, as things happen. So, and can we adapt to it? Like, I have some clients who have younger kids and they like to just do theme nights for different nights of the week. Works really well for them, 'cause there's like semi-planned, but there's also a lot of like Taco Tuesdays is a great one where there's so many ways you can make tacos, like endless ways you can make tacos pretty much. So if you have that, then you can kind of work in that little, you know, in that little silo of like, okay, I can make all these different types of tacos, but I don't need to think, you know, of not coming up with a whole new recipe. I would also say be okay with like repeating meals week to week. If there's things that work, like you don't need to have seven different lunches and breakfasts and dinners. Like you can repeat things, especially if they're things you or your family likes. Like It's totally fine to repeat things week to week or whatever, or multiple times a week if you want, if you really like something. But I think being okay with that, because I think sometimes people think I need to meal plan all these different things and buy all these, you know, different ingredients, and like groceries are really expensive. So like, you know, like you don't need to have a bajillion things that probably won't all get used, and then you'll end up throwing some of it away.
So talking about food in general and the connection to ADHD, or the connection to executive dysfunction, maybe we can just go there. How does food impact us, and what should we be keeping our eye out for and kind of avoiding or eating more of?
Yeah. So I take an all foods fit approach with nutrition. I think with that, like going back to that guilt and shame piece you mentioned earlier, like approaching food as like all foods can fit in a healthy eating pattern, which is totally true. Like, it removes a lot of that shame and guilt there. And that can really make making decisions around food even more challenging, of like, oh, I can't eat that because that's bad, or this is too many calories, or this is this, and da, 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 da. And then you're like, so what do I even eat? Versus like, let me allow myself to eat whatever I want. But also connecting like with how are certain foods going to make me feel. And I don't really know a lot of people who are like, if I just lived off of cake and cookies and pizza and, you know, burgers and fries 24/7, I would feel great. Like, I have yet to come across the person who would say yes to that. And I'm like maybe taste-wise, it's great, or fun eating experiences, but at some point I probably would want some vegetables or fruit or something, you know, some more whole foods. So that like attunement is what we call it, but like how foods feel in our body and make us feel, I think is really important. Protein is a really big one in terms of actual nutrients for ADHD. That's probably the one that like gets touted the most because it helps with making the building blocks for our neurotransmitters like dopamine. So eating protein regularly throughout the day, and even if you don't have ADHD, like eating regularly and including protein at your meals and snacks is something pretty much everyone should do. But people with ADHD, I often like carbs more because they tend to be a bigger source of dopamine. So we might not get as much protein as much protein in, and then we're never really as satiated because protein also helps with fullness. So it might be a lot more snacky and things like that. So I find protein is an area that a lot of my clients are like, oh, if I increase this, I notice I'm actually like full when I like, you know, and I can go from meal, you know, go a few hours in between eating versus, oh, I'm hungry an hour later. It's like, well, yes, if you just have a bowl of cereal, not the bowl of cereal is bad, but like you might want to add something extra there because it's probably not going to keep you full for very long. So kind of thinking about like, what can I add? There's a fun saying another dietitian uses of like, eat what you want, but add what you need. And I really, really like that of like, yeah, what can I add? Can I add, you know, can I add more color as a way to get in micronutrients? Can I add some protein in? Or maybe it's picking a carb that has a little more fiber to get more fiber in. Kind of thinking about it that way. So, I just threw a lot at you all at once. So
no,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was just thinking about, if one of the symptoms of ADHD, one of your ADHD features is impulse control, and the carbs give you that nice dopamine hit, I imagine that it is challenging for people to control that kind of snacking. What do you have any tips for helping people manage that kind of stuff?
So I use the intuitive eating framework with my clients. So we talk a lot. One of the principles, there's 10 principles in intuitive eating, and one of them is making peace with food. And that one was like the most transformational for me with my relationship with food. Like if there was ice cream in my house, I like would eat it. I used to steal my roommate meets ice cream and then go to the store in the morning and like scoop it back out and be like, she'll never know. She totally knew, and I love her because she was like, I just didn't know what to say. And I was like, not saying anything was the best thing you could have done, because I would have drowned in shame if
you
I
were already to. I'm sure
yeah like I already shame. Had enough shame like in and my own world of like no one knows I'm doing this. But really like normalizing that like these foods exist for me, of like kind of removing that guilt and shame and like It's called habituation. It's definitely a process that takes time and patience. And I would highly recommend working with a dietitian or a therapist that works in intuitive eating on it. Because it can be really challenging to figure out on your own. But it kind of was just like taking foods off of their pedestal and like, I have ice cream and I have chocolate and I have things in my pantry, but they're there and they exist. And like, I know that like those foods aren't going to make me feel great if I eat them in really large quantities. So I generally don't. And I know that I can have more later. Like it's going to be there tomorrow. I'm trying to remind my now and not now brain that like, not now means later. Like when you wake up, there will still be cookies or whatever it is in the pantry if you don't eat them all right now. So like, and you probably would like to see them in the pantry again tomorrow, so you can have them again tomorrow versus eating them all in one sitting and not feeling great. So I think that, and then it's like even where you place things, not as like a, oh, go tell my like partner to go hide the candy so I can't find it kind of thing, but sometimes just even not leaving things out and you're like, okay, we got cookies from the store. We're going to leave them on the counter. So that way when I'm, you know, walking through the kitchen, I see them and impulsively grab one and eat one before I've even realized it. Of like, okay, no, I'm going to put them at least, you know, in the pantry somewhere that's not like right in my eyesight every time I walk in the kitchen. So just to decrease some of the, like, I know it's in my house and I can probably go find it if I really want it, but kind of adding a little bit of a barrier there. So it's not just like, you know, staring at you right. when you walk in the kitchen.
Eat me, eat me. Yeah. I know for me that just making sure that I use my metacognitive thinking and really pay attention, like, how do you feel? Like if you eat this whole brownie, you will enjoy it going down. And your friend made it and she gave it to you as a gift and it was so, you know, lovely. If you eat the whole thing, you are then going to suffer. But then also, you know, having like a little bit because it's like a nice thing. So just paying attention to how it will impact me and noticing that and having compassion for myself. Like if you eat that in the moment, it's going to be amazing, but later you're going to really suffer.
Yeah. And the why piece of like, why do I want to eat something? Like, I think that can also be helpful of like, is there something else I could reach for or do instead? Like, okay, I'm noticing I'm bored and I keep wandering to the pantry and seeing if there's anything in there. I'm probably understimulated is probably why I keep going back and forth, opening it. There's nothing there. I'll grab a handful of this, even though I don't really want it and keep going back. And okay, maybe I should do something else. Maybe I'm going to go for a walk for 15 minutes and, you know, instead of grabbing another handful of something, because I know I'm not actually hungry. I'm just looking for stimulation. Or if I'm looking for comfort or maybe it's, you know, that I'm anxious or stressed. Like, is there something else I could do to kind of help with how I'm feeling right now that isn't food? Because food will, it will temporarily help. It's kind of like, I think for like emotions and things like that, I think of it as like a cough drop for a sore throat where it's like, okay, it will help a little bit, but like, it's probably not going to cure your sore throat.
Yeah.
You know? Or cure, like fix whatever is causing you to feel a certain way and reach to food. So I think understanding the like why as well can be really helpful. It's like, yeah, why am I constantly wanting this food or seeking this thing out? Is there something that I'm trying to like replace food with?
Yeah, so just a lot of that self-awareness seems like it's really, really helpful.
Yeah. And I think weirdly, like food can be a good spot for mindfulness, like as a way to like connect with your sensor, like the sensory experience of eating. There's so much, it's such a huge sensory experience because you get the taste and the texture and like the tactile feeling in your fingers if you're eating with your hands, and the aroma and all of that. So like it can be a place for mindfulness and checking in with our bodies of like, okay, I'm pausing in my day to actually eat. How am I feeling? You know, do I need water? Do I need to maybe call a friend on my lunch break or whatever? It can be a good place because we have to eat several times a day to like check in with our body a little bit too. Because I know mindfulness to people sometimes feel with ADHD feel like I can't do that. And it's like, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be just sitting and meditating. It can be like really just paying attention and noticing the way that like the texture changes as you're chewing, you know, taking a bite of food, or the way the taste changes and like noticing the different flavors that, you know, pop up, can be a different avenue for mindfulness.
So that makes me think about something that I heard someone say once, how they were looking for satisfaction out of the food. And so like they were paying attention to the experience of eating it to get that satisfaction.
Yeah. I think of satisfaction as like the mental piece of fullness. So like you can eat a meal that maybe is like physically satiating to you. I always think of like brown rice and steamed broccoli and like baked chicken to me is just like, especially very unseasoned, we'll say, it's just like boring to my brain. And I could eat that meal and be full.
Yeah.
But my brain would still be like, I want something else, maybe something sweet or something with more flavor, because that was just bland and boring. So thinking about those little things you can add in, maybe it's how you season the food, or like, you know, putting fresh Parmesan on top of your pasta. Or maybe sometimes we do need a palate cleanser at the end of a meal. If you have like a really savory dish, sometimes you do want something a little sweet to like cleanse your palate. And I think noticing those things can be really helpful with feeling like being able to stop eating when you're physically full versus like, oh, I'm trying to, you know, eat as the healthiest things possible, but they're not things I enjoy. So then I eat it and I'm not full, or I'm full, but I'm not like actually satiated. So I'm just going to keep picking it at things and then overeat or even binge. So I think, satisfaction can be so helpful, I think, for people with ADHD, thinking about like and honoring your sensory preferences, like what tastes do I like? What textures do I like? Do I like certain temperatures of food, and things like that? And considering that in thinking about like, what do I eat? Sometimes thinking about that first versus going straight towards like the nutrition piece can be helpful with that. Eat what you want and add what you need. Of like, yeah, what do I actually want in terms of what's going to be satisfying, and what can I add maybe to make it more nourishing or nutrient dense?
I've lately been adding pepitas, the pumpkin seeds, and slivered almonds to like if I have like yogurt with fruit in it, I've been adding that, or I've been even just adding it to a bowl of cereal, and it adds this like nice crunchy experience that is also super healthy for me. And it doesn't, neither of the things, they have sort of like a neutral taste, so they're not like changing the flavor of whatever I eat. And so I've just been like adding that to things, and I do find what I'm eating a lot more satisfying when I get that like crunch.
I call it the crunch factor. One of my clients gave me the name for it, but he was like, I need something crunchy in my meal, whether it's like the bread is toasted or there's like crunchy vegetables, there's something there that helps with that. And I think it's just because eating, like when you eat crunchy food, it's like a very, like it definitely signals to your brain, I am eating. sensory experience. That's like, okay, now I feel satiated. Like sometimes smoothies are a thing for me, are great when I don't have an appetite, but if I'm actually hungry, like a smoothie, there's no chewing, there's no crunch. So I'm like, okay, I just had this big smoothie, but I'm not really that satiated because I need something. Like sometimes I'll have a smoothie and just have something, you know, like a handful of nuts, something next
to get that. Yeah.
And then I'm good.
That's so interesting. I completely forgotten about this experience I had. I had to have some like major dental surgery, and for almost 2 weeks, it was like 10 or 12 days, I couldn't crunch on anything. And I drank smoothies for just about 2 weeks. And I remember saying, I just want to like crunch something.
You're the third ADHD-er, ADHD-er that has told me a similar experience.
Like, it was horrible.
Yeah. One of my really good friends, she was like, I'm craving all these foods that I don't even really like. I just want crunchy foods. Because she's like, I'm tired of mashed potatoes. I'm tired of smoothies. Like, I want crunch. And I was like, I think it's our brains really enjoy it. And then that, like, when we don't get it, whether that's like self-imposed, like I'm choosing to not eat certain foods, or I have like, I've had, you know, dental work and I can't eat them, is a great example of like how depriving ourselves of those experiences is makes us like really crave or seek out some of those foods. So yeah, being kind to yourself too when that happens, because often you're like, what is wrong
What's
with
wrong
me?
with me?
All these cravings and things, and your body is just like, well, you've been feeding me probably very nourishing foods, but
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
they're missing something, like what I actually enjoy. And if you don't like crunchy foods, also totally okay. Maybe there's
Yes, that's
other
right.
textures that you
Yeah.
enjoy, or other taste profiles maybe that you enjoy, maybe you like sweet or savory or a combination, or sour is another one I find, like, it's a popular like flavor for like eating for stimulation, especially like sour candies, like Sour Patch Kids, like that gummy texture, and then the like sour
Ooh, my
taste.
salivary glands are
Yeah.
going just thinking about
Yeah.
That's funny, huh? Yeah, yesterday, so my son had a track party, like a last day of track and field party. And so he signed up to bring a bag of chips. And when I went to the store, they were, instead of $5.50 each, they were 3 for $10. So I was like, well,
Oh,
heck, I gotta buy some chips. So
yeah.
we have this bag of Doritos, and we don't usually buy stuff like that. And yesterday it was out, and my husband said to me, he's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I cannot stop eating these. And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna have any more. But then the bag was still out, and every time I walked by, I was like, I'm just gonna have a couple more. But I think it's that like salty, fatty,
Yeah.
crunchy combo. And
Yep.
if we had like a bowl of apple, like a bunch of apple slices out, it'd be like, okay, that's crunchy. It's just
Yeah.
not quite the
Not quite the same. Yeah, it's
same.
trying to find, sometimes finding similar alternatives, or even like, again, with that eat what you want, add what you need kind of thing of like, okay, maybe I do want to have my Doritos, but could I add something on my plate so that way it'll probably be a more satiating snack,
Yeah.
because potato chips are delicious and so yummy, but they are not
Yeah.
probably the most filling snack. Like you
Yeah.
can eat a lot of potato chips before you're like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
So adding something in there can be great. I'm a big dip person, so like I will use dips kind of as my like, okay, I can have some chips and then a little dip and like veggies, and then I've got a nice little
Yeah.
I'm
That's
getting
cool.
the thing I want, but I'm also adding in, you know, some extra things to help fill me up
Yeah.
a little bit more too. So it's kind of like knowing, again, thinking about what you know feels good in your body of like, I know eating a lot of potato chips isn't going to make me feel good, and I know that maybe adding some vegetables in might make me feel, you know, feel a little bit better actually.
So, if someone is interested in learning more about nutrition, like how do you find a nutritionist, or how do you find
Yeah.
resources, and how can someone go about supporting their own nutrition, especially if they
Yeah.
have ADHD?
I would look for a dietitian. I am a dietitian. I use nutritionists on social media as like my in my handle, but I am a dietitian. And I would look for a dietitian because we're kind of like we have more training and education than most nutritionists will.
Okay.
And we're usually, depending on where you live, you might be licensed in a particular state. So I would look for someone, and usually, at least a lot of dietitians that I know will offer like a discovery call. I offer one too, to like meet and, you know, see if you
Oh, that's
gel with
good.
that person
Yeah, that's so
before, like,
important.
yeah, before
Yeah.
investing in like working with them. So I think, you know, having a discovery call, like, is this someone who I want to, you know, to give my money? Do I want to support me? And like, do I like, they work with people, asking them if they have experience working with people that have ADHD or actually understand that, or even, you know, asking if they're neurodiversity affirming, because they think sometimes this can happen even with like therapists too, where like it's like they check every specialty in the bot, like, you know, when you look on like Psychology Today, they're like, I do everything from ADHD to like couples counseling, and you're like, how are you specialized in every single one of these things? Then, you know, so making sure that you have someone who actually understands that, because for a lot of my clients, it's not a knowledge deficit. It's not like, I don't know what to do. It's how do I do
How
it?
to do it.
And working with someone who has ADHD or understands ADHD means they're really going to be able to help you with the how piece. And I think for me, that's where I differ from other dietitians, is a lot of my work is focused on the how versus being like, you know, just giving the standard nutrition education that like everyone's probably, most of my clients have already had. And they're like, that's, I already know that, but how do I even go about getting there? So yeah, asking people what their experience is working with people who are neurodivergent, because I think that can be really helpful. So then you just don't get, unfortunately, don't get thrown like things like, oh, here's these meal plans or here's these recipes. And they're like, you know, it takes an hour to make and it has 20 ingredients. Or they're like, or I've had so many clients like, you're not going to make, tell me I have to meal prep, right? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oof.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're going to make me spend my whole Sundays. I'm like, no, I don't do that. Like,
yeah.
And I tried in grad school to meal prep and I couldn't wrap my head around doing it. And I felt so bad because I was like, everyone else meal preps. I'm going to be a dietitian and I'm not meal prepping. What's wrong with me? And then I was like, I just don't want to eat the same thing day after day after day that I cooked on Sunday. By Wednesday, that's gross to me.
Yes.
Thursday or Friday, you're eating what you cooked on Sunday. I just, if you can do that, that's great. But it like just is not for me. So I had to kind of let that go and be like, okay, I don't have to do it this way. And that's really freeing, I think, for a lot of people to be like, I don't have to do that to like be healthy or whatever. And it's like, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. If you want to, go for it.
Yeah.
Meal prep, buy all the containers, do the whole thing, like enjoy it. But it doesn't work for a lot of people with ADHD. And I feel like we have to do it that way or else it's not going to work and it doesn't have to be that way. So yeah, that would be my biggest tip.
And I imagine I don't think I have ever had a client that I've worked on with diet and nutrition, but I imagine that there are lots of executive function or ADHD coaches out there that have done a lot of that, maybe even specialize in it.
Yeah, I would definitely guess that there is. So yeah, working with someone who can help you through all those parts from planning to getting the groceries to prepping them to cooking to eating and cleaning things up and like how to do that in a way that, you know, works with your brain, I think can be really great. Or even working with someone if like every part of your ADHD, excuse me, if you've like every part of your ADHD is currently unmanaged, I'm usually like, go work with an ADHD coach. And like food can be the like final, usually some often is like kind of like the final thing for a lot of my clients where they get a lot of the other parts of their lives figured out with ADHD or get those other things more managed. And then they're like, okay, now I have the capacity to tackle food.
Mm-hmm.
And I find they actually have a lot more success because they've had to use these skills, not just with food, but they are using them, you know, with getting to doctor's appointments, to doing their work, you know, doing their job, you know, managing their kids' schedules, all of these things. They've learned those skills and like using them in other places. So then it's easier to problem solve through like the executive functioning stuff with food because they're like, oh, like how do you, if they're like, I forget to eat. I'm like, well, how are you remembering to go to doctor's appointments or go do, you know, how do you remember your boss asked you to go do something? Like, and we can kind of pull from those things. And then it's easier to kind of implement things because they kind of have an idea of what works and what doesn't for their brain.
I love that because we talk so much about how you can apply the executive function skills, the tools, strategies that you've learned to all different areas. So yeah, that's a great example of that. And I was just thinking, I actually do help clients with food. I work with a lot of college students and I have helped a lot of my college students figure out like what foods that they could cook at home or in their dorms. And I have noticed all of my college students who have done well with cooking for themselves do really well in all the other areas too. But it is something we usually start to tackle after we've kind of taken a look at everything else. So
I feel like a lot of times people feel like food should be where they first start sometimes. And that makes sense because we're eating so often.
Right.
But if everything else feels super chaotic, I'm like, just fed as best is what we're rocking with until like everything else, especially if it's like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm staying up super late and I'm not getting enough sleep. So then I'm sleep deprived and then my whole day is off and, you know, all these other things are getting in the way of them taking care of themselves. I'm like, okay, well, we just got to get you fed on a regular basis first and then we can kind of start tweaking things. But yeah, it just kind of can be easier, I guess, that way.
Yeah. So. Cool. So where can people find more about you?
Yeah, I am most active on Instagram. So you can find me at ADHD.nutritionist would be the best place to find me.
Yep, that's where I found you.
Yeah.
And so what are you excited about? You got anything, any cool stuff coming up?
I am super excited. I just got the cover for my book last week. So that's really exciting.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. And next week, June 3rd, my manuscript is finally due. So like in March of 2025, my book will be ready and published by then.
That is
so I'm really
so great.
Excited.
Congratulations. What's it
that.
Called?
Yeah. How to Eat Well with ADHD.
Oh, perfect.
So,
great title.
Yeah, it's a non-diet guide to feeding yourself as an adult with ADHD.
I because love it.
There just wasn't a book that existed that I felt like really helped like what my clients and like followers have been looking for when it comes to nutrition advice. It's all the like, eat this, not that. And like, you need to eat a whole foods based diet. And that's like, again, I don't have the time to cook like that. Or the executive function to cook like that for every single one of my meals. That's just not
And then
realistic.
If I don't, I'm going to feel awful about myself.
Yeah. And then I'm just a failure all the
I'm
time.
I'm basically a failure all the time in this
24/7.
Area as well.
Yeah. Because you have to eat so often, you're just constantly reminded of that. So it's like, how do I do this in a way that actually supports my brain and works with my brain and kind of, removves that overwhelm and the guilt and the shame and hopefully will help. Feel good both mentally and physically.
Yeah, that's great.
So
can't wait to read it. Very exciting.
Thank you.
I will put a link to your info in the show notes so everybody can find you. And follow Becca on Instagram. She's got some really good stuff on there, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. It was really, it's a really interesting topic to me. So I'm really happy to talk with you about it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I just finished one of my my gentle nutrition chapter and I was like, we're gonna have to do a lot of work on this because this was like all of my special interests wrapped up into one chapter of like ADHD and like nutrition, because I kind of go through a bunch of other stuff with food too. But then I have one just very specific on nutrition and I was like, this is just like a brain dump of everything I'm excited about in nutrition and ADHD. So it's like, this chapter is going to need a lot of editing, but that's okay. This was just like, let me share everything I'm excited about.
That's awesome. That's great. I can't wait for it to be out there in the world to help people.
Yes, me too. I'm really excited.
Yeah, great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. My takeaways from this conversation are that there are many ways to make cooking easier and more enjoyable. Meal planning can look different for everyone and serve different purposes at different times in your life, and that's okay. Finding the right foods for you can help you feel more satisfied and eat less junk, and that it's okay to eat a handful of Doritos as long as you put some apples on your plate too. Check out the show notes for more resources about nutrition and how to find out more about Becca and her work. As always, if you have questions or topic suggestions, you can reach out to me at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. Please do it. I love hearing from you guys. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect there too. It helps us out a ton if you can rate us on Apple or Spotify, and even better, leave us a written review on Apple so more people can find us. You can follow and set up auto downloads of Focus Forward on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Sign up for our subscriber email at beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. Our producer and editor is Sean Potts, and our content marketer is Justice Abbott, and I just love these two people so much. Many thanks to Becca King for joining me for this delicious and helpful conversation. Thanks for listening.